Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Inspiring you to bring God back into the conversation of the day. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Carmen LaBurge, listening to Mornings with Carmen here on the Faith Radio Network. For those of you asking eclipse questions, some of you are definitely asking questions that go beyond my seventh grade science education. So let me just go ahead and say, I don't know how you confirm that those glasses that you bought are ISO certified without, I don't know. I don't ask me that question. I have no idea. That seems like a Google question. some things I don't know. There you go. I'm willing to confess, and in humility, I don't know it all. 7 million people across the United States of America are traveling today to get a better view of the solar eclipse. Are you one of them? Are you on the road today? Are you traveling today? My sister and my nephew traveled from Tucson, Arizona to Cleveland in order to get a better view of the solar eclipse. So yes, in my own family, people have loaded up and headed in all directions. My son-in-law, Desmond, and his dad, Lester, hit the road yesterday to drive to somewhere in Illinois where, you know, they expect to get a good view of things. Yes, those glasses are important. I do know this, and I did learn this yesterday. If you try to take a picture of it with your cell phone, you know, your smartphone, you will burn up your camera. So you have to put those little glasses over your camera on your phone if you are going to try to take a picture. But let me just say this, you're not going to take a picture that's going to be as good as the pictures that get taken by like NASA. So just rely on somebody else to take a picture, put your little glasses on. And, you know, if you intend to look up at the, you know, at the sun, like this is one of those times when your mom was right. You're going to burn your eyeballs. So don't do that. Do not look at it without the glasses on. And if you want to take a picture with your phone, apparently you got to put the glasses over your little camera lens. There you go. That might be the full summary of what Carmen actually knows about the eclipse. Well, I do know this. This is the first solar eclipse, you know, when the moon blots out the sun. That's your biblical reference that, you know, the moon, you know, this is why people are making references to it, because in the Bible, you know, it does talk about the moon blotting out the sun. This is not that. Pretty confident this is not that. This is the first solar eclipse to pass through North America in 7 years. The last time was 2017. People made much of that. You may not remember all of that. The people making much of this one either do remember that, or they don't remember it, or they weren't this close to the path, on and on and on. The next one that is going to be visible in the, you know, in the United States, in the lower 48, is not until August 23rd of 2044. And so, you know, it's not going to be another one of these for 20 years here in the U.S. And so people are making much of this one. What's the exact time? Yeah. And can I see it? I don't know the answers to those questions. You're going to have to Google it for where you are. When will the eclipse pass over me? Like, you know, there's going to be a time period during which obviously it gets darker and darker. If you live in the Twin Cities, you're going to have like 75% of the solar eclipse or something like that. But it's also cloudy there today. So pretty much just going to get dark. Animals are going to act weird. I am wondering if my chickens will lay two eggs because the sun's going to rise twice. That's really like the big question for Carmen today. My science experiment at my house, are my chickens going to lay two eggs because the sun's going to rise twice? I think the answer is no, but you know, see, now I've got you thinking, don't I? Here's my encouragement to you today. Don't allow anything to eclipse the glory of God today. Don't allow anything to eclipse the glory of God today in your life. God is the one who actually set that burning ball on fire. God is the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's the one who told the light to shine and taught it how. Like, that is God. And God's the one who thought, there should be a moon so these people can, you know, have tides and all kinds of other cool things. So the moon and the sun, they belong to God. He set them in their courses. Like, God is the one who needs to get the glory today. Point beyond the creation to the Creator. Use the light and darkness experience today to point to the one who is the light of the world. And then, yes, go be shiny. How is darkness seeking to obscure Jesus today? That's a good follower of Jesus question to ask. I mean, as the moon sets itself in front of the sun, what is trying to come between you and the light of the world? What darkness is seeking to obscure Jesus today? What darkness is seeking to obscure you as a follower of Jesus today? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness never overcomes it. Never. Yes, there's darkness. Darkness exists. Darkness comes. But darkness never overcomes the light. Just think about that. A lot of people with a lot of dark thoughts today. Darkness cannot stand very long in the presence of light, so go be shiny. And then why are so many people, this is a good question to ask yourself, why are so many people working so hard to be in a position to see total darkness? Why are so many people working so hard and paying so much to be in a position to see total darkness, to see the sun blotted out? Is it because they want to experience the darkness? No. It's because of that moment when the light overcomes the darkness, when the sun reappears. People aren't trying to get into the path of totality to see the darkness. They're going because they hope, they are certain in their hope that after the eclipse will be eclipsed by the light. Darkness isn't going to win the day. Light shines, and that hope is attractive. So don't allow anything to eclipse the light of God's presence today, or the light of God's power, or the light of God's love, or the fact that God is God. Now, people are claiming all kinds of things today in relationship to the eclipse. If you haven't already heard them, there's a whole litany, over the past few weeks in social media, a litany of, well, this is happening today. I mean, you know, the devil's comet's going to be visible to the naked eye during the eclipse. And the European Organization for Nuclear Research, they're going to fire up the Hadron Collider today. And, you know, don't you know that's the device that found the so-called God particle a decade ago? Well, and don't you know that NASA has this scheduled launch today of 3 satellites as a part of their atmospheric perturbations around eclipse path, which happens to end up with an acronym APEP. And unfortunately, Apep was also the name of an ancient Egyptian snake god, which people online have associated with darkness and destruction, and they believe that this is all relevant to the conversation of the day. And they would add to that, let's link the eclipse to the imminent sacrifice of red heifers in Israel, a practice that some people believe is going to herald the construction of a third temple in Jerusalem and the return of the Messiah, and therefore the end of the world. That's what's going on out there in conspiracy world related to the eclipse today. So people have amassed millions of views on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok related to all those conspiracies. And one guy, Ben Bennett from Josh McDowell Ministries, has amassed millions of views in the other direction. So I thought, yeah, let's talk to Ben today. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. People out there saying all kinds of crazy things today, not least of which, Ben Bennett. Ben is an author and a content creator. He serves with Josh McDowell Ministry. He's the director of Resolution Movement, which is a global movement helping people overcome all kinds of struggles and thrive in life. I have him on today because he's a friend of a friend. My friend Shelley said, you should have my friend Ben on to talk about the eclipse because he has this video online that's gone viral in relationship to the eclipse. And I watched it and I thought, yeah, Let's get with Ben and deal with what's happening in the world today. So, Ben Bennett, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Carmen, a pleasure to be with you this morning.
And Bennett's just way easier to say than Komachevsky, so having Shelley on would, you know.
Yeah, that would be problematic for me.
way harder to spell. Okay, so yes. You jumped on, what did you jump on? Instagram, TikTok, YouTube? Like, okay, so let's just start with this. As a content creator on social media, where do you actually post? Like, so just read us in, because not all of us are on all of the socials. So what did you do? And then what happened to what you did?
I filmed a 60-second video and I posted it to TikTok, Instagram, and funny enough, Facebook has, they have a bunch of reels and videos now with the, it's called the discovery algorithm. It goes out to a bunch of people who don't necessarily follow you. And between all platforms, we're coming up on, between all of those three platforms, we're coming up on 6 million views on this video.
Okay, wait a second. 6 million views on a 60-second video of a guy sitting on what appears to be his front porch holding an open Bible. You're holding an open Bible. Like, it's folded back. I love the, that's one of my favorite parts, Ben, by the way. I mean, your mustache is fabulous as well.
Yes.
But
thank you.
But the fact that you're just like, you're just a guy sitting on your front porch and you've got your Bible open and you're just looking right at us and you're like, okay. Let's talk about the eclipse. So what did your message address? What were you seeking to communicate?
Well, the title of the video, and I put the text on the video to grab people's attention, was God doesn't want you to fear the April 8th eclipse. And that was my opening line, because I knew whenever something like this happens, I mean, this has been happening for decades. People get up in arms, whether it was Y2K or whether it was back in the fall, the partial eclipse, all kinds of theories come out and people get, especially young people, I'm seeing Gen Alpha, Gen Z, fall for these videos and these fake prophecies and things that are being said to them, and they get all kinds of anxiety. And so my simple message was, God doesn't want you to fear this. And then I pointed them to scripture and a specific passage, and I explained why we don't have to fear this.
Okay. When you refer to Gen Z and Gen Alpha, who are we talking about?
So with Gen Z, I'm talking about people that are 15 to 27 years old. And then Gen Alpha, I'm talking about birth through, or actually 5 years old through 15 years old.
All right. So it's really, you know, we're talking about kids and young adults, like children, legit children, and then teenagers and young adults. And you refer to fear, well, anxiety, right? It's producing anxiety and fear being very, very closely related. Why doesn't God want you to fear the April 8th eclipse? So I want you to sit with that question for just a moment. We're talking with Ben Bennett from Josh McDowell Ministries. Sit with that question for just a moment. What do you fear? What does it mean to have an awe of God, like legit fear of God? Not the kind of fear that, you know, fear of spiders, not the kind of anxiety that you might have because people are talking about the end of the world or the end of the world as you know it. Okay. So we want to juxtapose those two realities, the very real, awesome, legitimate, life-giving fear of God, like awe, versus the things that the world would lead us to fear. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. What do you fear? And what does it mean to fear God? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
Back when I was in college, I invited a friend to church. Now, she had literally never been in a church before. So I tried to think of all the things that it would help to explain. We got there early and I showed her around. We got a bulletin. I told her what to expect. But when the offering basket actually came by, she held on to it, looked down, and asked out loud, "What is this?" Now, I want you to imagine trying to explain that during worship while the soloist is singing. Now, what makes this story really funny is that she held the basket. I mean, she was asking an honest question, and I was honestly trying to answer, but she's holding the basket, and the ushers are getting antsy. And because I had passed the basket to her, I couldn't easily, like, take it back. So there we sat. I'm attempting to explain the collection of tithes and offerings. My friend is holding the basket. The person on the other side of her is, like, wide-eyed, boring a hole into me. It's funny now, but I literally, like, feel the sweat that was rolling down my back in that moment. Explaining why we support a ministry can be challenging. This is listener-supported radio and listener-supported digital media. You're listening to it via podcast, so that's made possible by the financial support of listeners just like you. During our spring fundraiser, we passed the plate. In short, we need your help. If you've never given before, maybe you could consider a dollar a day. It's not actually about the size of the gift. It's about everyone doing their part to make the whole thing possible. So help us continue to share the faith by sharing in faith now. You can give right now by clicking the link in the show notes, by going to myfaithradio.com, or texting the word give to 877-933-2484. And thanks in advance. Do you read the Old Farmer's Almanac? Do you read the Bible? If you read the Old Farmer's Almanac, then you might be led to believe that God is angry today, or God is sad, and that the sun is being blotted out by the moon because some god somewhere, some mythical deity, wants you to fear him. Yeah, that's not what's going on from a biblical worldview, but not everybody knows that, because not everybody knows the good news of the God of the Bible. And so we've got Ben Bennett with us today from Josh McDowell Ministries. He has a video on social media that more than 6 million people have now viewed on, you know, the fact that God doesn't want you to fear the April 8th eclipse. Ben, why do you think people are so interested in sort of like heavenly or spiritual things? Or maybe I'm making heavenly things spiritual things. Don't really know. Maybe you can help me with that. Because the fear is coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I think, Carmen, that all of us deep down, like, one of the top fears is still death. And so people with what I've seen with young people are dealing with a lot is the uncertainty of their salvation. Just the amount of people who have messaged me and are questioning their salvation, or say they did something and they're afraid that they've, you know, are no longer a Christian. That fear is pervasive. And we know that Satan is the father of lies, as Jesus called him. And so he is picking up on this fear in this generation and lies. And every time something like an eclipse happens, spreading rumors, you know, that's happening, and people are creating videos based on fear. And I got so many messages and comments on these videos, like, I was scared this whole weekend and I prayed for God to help me, and then I saw this. Or another person was saying that they've been stressing so much about this for the past month, but after seeing this video, they feel better about it. And so I think, I know eternity is written on our hearts. And so people are longing for forever, and people are questioning what that's going to be.
That's so good. People are longing for forever. One of the things that Ben has recently co-authored is a book called Free to Thrive: How Your Hurt, Struggles, and Deepest Longings Can Lead to a Fulfilling Life. I'm happy to send you the direct links so that you can connect with Ben Bennett in the video that we're talking about. You guys know how to get me. Just text us at 877-933-2484. We'll send you all the links to Ben. Ben, fear. Let's talk about the fear of the Lord. We know from Proverbs chapter 9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a different kind of fear. Can you talk about the fear of the Lord?
Yes. And this is what I point people to in this video, is that we are supposed to fear God, meaning we're supposed to be in awe of him. We're supposed to revere him above everything and everyone else. And Isaiah 8:12-13 says, "Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy, Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And so it means to tremble, to revere, to be in awe of him. And rather than the themes of this world, rather than something like in an eclipse, and, you know, there's rumors going around, is this God's judgment on America? Is the power going to go out? All kinds of things. And we get, or people start thinking about that more than they're thinking about God, and more than they're thinking about why they're here. And that's to love God, love others, share the gospel, and to make much of him. And so it gets twisted where we're fearing things more than we're fearing God. And then that's idolatry.
I really appreciated one of the things that you do in the video, which is direct people to John Bevere's The Awe of God, which is really just this fantastic book on sort of a healthy fear of the Lord. So I really I appreciated that. I appreciated that you took people into scripture. Like, that's where we want to take them, right? We want to take them into the Word of God. I appreciated that you acknowledged what was producing the, I mean, what I will call irrational fear. You didn't call it that, but I appreciated that you pointed to that, and then you redirected them. You redirected them to the truth, and then you actually gave them a nod to a further resource. I don't know if that was intentional or more just like, hey, this is something that's really helped me. Maybe it'll help you, but I really appreciated that. So you guys, as you're listening, you will remember the conversation we had with John Bevere about the awe of God, the astounding way a healthy fear of God transforms your life. It was, I don't know, probably about a year ago that we talked to John about that book. And Ben Bennett points to that in his, I mean, in 60 seconds, you communicated a lot. Let me also affirm that. Talk about the power of 1 minute. Talk about the power right now in the world in terms of communicating with Gen Z or Gen Alpha, everybody from, you know, 5 to 27, the power of 1 minute.
There's an insane amount you can communicate in 60 seconds. I feel like I'm doing that right now with your with your question. But especially in the first 5 seconds, you have to grip this generation. And because they're, think about this, they're scrolling and spending hours on videos on TikTok, on Instagram, and you're coming across hundreds of videos in that hour. And so you really have to grip them in the first minute. But within that minute, I'm finding that if you can grip them in the first few seconds, a lot of people will end up watching the whole minute as long as it's valuable and you're getting to valuable content. And so that's why what I try to do, I try to think through exactly what I'm going to say, what scripture I'm going to point out, try to add value, give them next steps, closure. And hopefully that's what has been done with this video.
So where do people go? Like, okay, let's just imagine that I saw the video on Instagram or on TikTok or something. Like, imagine that I know nothing about how any of that works, which would be true. Am I clicking from there to something else that you are doing or something that you're directing me to? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, to access the video, is that what you're asking?
Well, or to access something beyond the video. Like, is, when you say, like, give them a next step, does that happen from there? Or does that happen because they've heard you and they heard something that you said and they're now going to go find that? Or is there, like, a click there that takes them to the next thing? Just help me understand.
Yeah, there's two different ways I go about this. Sometimes in the video, I'll give them a direct next step, whether it's talking about the John Bevere quote and or book, or it's talking about my book or a resource. Other times what happens is a lot of people are just coming to the page. So with this, with 6 million views, getting hundreds of thousands of people probably coming to the page, and then having clear links and resources, link in bio, you know, to a next step resource. I point them to resolutionmovement.org, where we've got all these resources on fear, anxiety, trauma, overcoming porn addiction, growing with God. And then now our online community where people can connect with one another. So those are some resources they get to.
That is so cool. All right. If you are listening right now and you're saying to yourself, I could really use that, and I would like to know what Ben is doing in reaching people in these emerging generations, I would like to be equipped in these ways. I'd like to have resources to pass along to others. We want to make those available to you. ResolutionMovement.org. I'm happy to send you the direct link. Just text me, 877-933-2484. Ben, it's a delight to make your acquaintance today. I hope that over the course of time, we can get to know one another better.
Love that. Thanks so much, Carmen.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's Ben Bennett from Josh McDowell Ministries. The direct link to Ben and his resources, resolutionmovement.org. Let's be praying for Ben as God has him out there on the front lines of communicating with emerging generations. And let's take something from what he just told us. Like, how are we going to grip someone's attention in the first 5 seconds? Have you thought through not just what you want to say to somebody, but where that has to start to actually speak to their heart, to address their concern, to scratch the itch that's itching them today? So why are people going to look up today at the sky? What are they looking for? What are they hoping for? What are they fearing? How is the light going to shine through that darkness? You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Next up, we're going to talk with Melissa Kruger. She's the Vice President of Discipleship and Programming for the Gospel Coalition. This is a conversation about parenting. So you and I have to make all of these transitions in parenting. I don't know if you're if you're a parent, you already know this, but you don't necessarily know how to successfully navigate the next parenting transition that's coming. And if you are like me and you've got kids who are about to have kids, providing them with resources like this is really essential. So the baby arrives and you got to figure that out. And then the baby turns into a toddler and you got to figure that out. And then the toddler, you know, walks off into the world and you got to figure that out. And then they become teenagers and you got to figure that out. Parenting with hope, raising teens for Christ in a secular age. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Are you a parent or a grandparent? Maybe you have already started down this journey and you're all of a sudden at a place where you're like, I don't know how to parent this child anymore. Or this child is different than the last child. And how do I make this transition in parenting? We're here to help. Melissa Kruger is joining us. She is the Vice President of Discipleship Programming for the Gospel Coalition. And she's joining us today with a new book, Parenting with Hope: Raising Teens for Christ in a Secular Age. Melissa, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, this is so wonderful. Thank you for being here. You have made several transitions in parenting, and there are transitions ahead. Talk with us just about this process of becoming a parent and then how parenting changes as our kids grow up.
Yes. You know, I think as any parent knows out there, you get into a good rhythm where you think you've finally figured out a little window of parenting, you know, and then all of the sudden, the things that were working stop working, basically because your kids are constantly changing. You know, right now I'm in the stage of parenting an adult child and still a high schooler. I'm holding multiple stages at the same time in parenting. And what I've realized along the way, if I am parenting my 12-year-old like she's 2 years old, we're going to have problems. Like, my principles don't have to change, but my practice does have to change along the way.
That's so good. My principles in parenting are going to remain the same. My practices are going to change. That sounds, Melissa, like I am going to grow up as a parent alongside my kids who are growing up.
That's right. And the reality is, we are not the same person. I'm not the same person I was when I started parenting 23 years ago. Hopefully we've changed as well and matured and grown. And that maturity comes to our parenting and hopefully will maybe soften some of our stressed out edges, you know, that we had when they were 2 months old. And we were like, what am I doing? But, you know, the Lord is walking with us in that moment too. I mean, you know, when I think about it, That is this the way the Lord works on us. It's not just we have to make sure this child is growing up. The Lord is actually growing us in the process as we are parenting this child. Both are happening at the same time.
All right. As you're listening right now and you're thinking, I need that help. I've got the 2-month-old and I don't know what I'm doing. I've got the 2-year-old and I don't know what I'm doing. Mine is 12. I don't know what I'm doing. Mine's 22 and I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Parenting with Hope, raising teens for Christ in a secular age. We've got copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Melissa, I'd love for you to identify some of those shifts. So I'm going to make a play on words here, and I want everybody to listen super carefully. We do want you to be a shifty parent, all right? We want you to be a shifty parent. Okay, so what are some of the shifts that you have had to make in your parenting style? Not your principles, but your practices. Because, you know, your kids are individuals, our kids are individuals, and as they grow, their needs change.
Yes, I wish I would have entitled one of the chapters, You Need to Be a Shifty Parent. That would have been great. So it's too bad we had this conversation.
I'm here to help. That's it. That's what I got. That's what I got today.
I love that. But I think it's really true. And here's an example. I think with young kids, it's really important to correct them immediately, because young kids, you know, a 2-year-old is not going to remember if 5 hours later you put them in timeout because, you know, they hit their friend or whatever. You know, they're not going to remember. They're going to be like, why am I here? What's going on? Why are we doing this? So a lot of times consequences for younger children need to be immediate. You know, they need immediate correction. Whereas with older kids, what I would say, you still have to offer correction. But I actually think it's often wise to kind of let the temperature in the room come down a little bit before you offer correction. So if a teenager comes in and they're slamming doors and they're, you know, kind of bad moody at everyone, sometimes there's other things going on in their day. You know, they've had a fight with a friend, no one talked to them at lunch, things are going on. And while their actions are still inappropriate and they need correction, I don't think they probably need it in that moment. So in that moment, I would just kind of let things happen, let the, you know, book bag be slung across the table or whatever. And then maybe later when things have cooled down, say, hey, tell me about what was going on today. You seem really upset about something. And then, you know, so listen to what was going on in their day and then say, hey, when you came in and, you know, you threw your backpack across the table, that's really not the best way to respond. What, how do you think you could work on that next time? What would be an appropriate response when you've had a hard day, and help them learn to think that through? It's just a different stage. You're still offering correction. You're still offering guidance. But the method by which you do it is going to be different with a 12-year-old than a 2-year-old.
We're so prone to just respond like we always responded and say things that then we're like, that wouldn't have convinced me. Like, do this because I said so. Or, you know, duh. I mean, like, we get beyond the because I said so stage pretty quickly. Like that, but sometimes it's the only tool in our tool bag, so we keep using it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We need a big toolbox with parenting.
So that's what it feels like you're giving us. Like, it feels like you're helping us have more tools in our toolbox. The book is Parenting with Hope, Raising Teens for Christ in a Secular Age. Melissa Krueger is the author. You can connect with her at melissabkrueger.com. We're giving away copies of the book today. So text the word book to 877-933-2484. Melissa, I'm wondering, did you ever arrive at a time that you thought, I do not know how to parent this child through this particular phase? Where did you turn for resources? And then, you know, how can you help us with the resources that we need?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, like coming home with an infant, I was living overseas at the time. I was 26 years old when I had my first daughter. And I can remember thinking, what on earth have I gotten into? I felt like I had nothing Yeah, I knew nothing to guide me in this stage. And it was really overwhelming. I don't know. I mean, I think different people at different stages feel different things. So I had the blessing. I was a high school teacher. So the teen years for me have actually felt a little bit more comfortable than the newborn stage, you know, when you're just like looking
at
this.
You went to school for this.
Yeah, exactly. I knew a little bit about teen development, you know, infants, and how to get an infant to stop crying. I can remember sitting outside my daughter's bedroom and she was trying to fall asleep and she's crying, which they do. I now know that. And I just was sitting there and literally on my knees praying that she would fall asleep. And my mom thankfully came to visit and she finally looked at me and she goes, Melissa, you do know babies are just going to cry, right? And it was this moment of, oh, it's normal that babies are going to cry. And actually, I would say this principle has gotten me through all the stages with children. It's normal that 5-year-olds are going to cry. It's normal that teens are going to cry. It's normal that 23-year-olds are going to cry. And we can't solve all of their life. It's normal that they're going to cry. But I would definitely say I read a lot of books in those young years. And here's what I will say. I think there are a lot of books directed to moms and dads in the young years, but then they kind of dry up when we get to teens and they get really specific. Maybe like if your teen's struggling with anxiety or if you want to understand social media. But there, I didn't find a really strong holistic approach to parenting teens for the parent of the teen. It was more like, here's how you get your teen sorted. I really wanted to focus on how do we walk with God in this season of parenting teens? How am I growing as a person? How can I maturely help my child grow as a person? And so that's why I worked on this book. But I will say those early years for me were that really clinging to the Lord and praying a lot and reading everything I could get my hands on in those years.
We're going to continue our conversation with Melissa Krueger in just a moment. I'm going to draw on what you just talked about, because it's not just that crying is normal for babies or for toddlers. Crying is normal for teenagers. Crying is normal for young adults. Crying is normal for parents. And so in the crying, we are also crying out. And I want, when we come back from a very brief break, Melissa, I want to pivot to a conversation about crying out to God and the power of prayer as we help our teenagers navigate the world as Christ followers. We're talking with Melissa Krueger, and we're talking about our kids, and we're talking about us as parents of teenagers and emerging young adults. And what does it look like to parent with hope? The book is Parenting with Hope. We're giving away copies today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. How are you crying out to the Lord? Maybe you're just crying as your babies are crying or your toddlers are crying, your teens are crying. Maybe your young adult children are crying. Maybe you as a parent are crying. What does it look like to be crying out to the Lord in the midst of our crying? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com.
Hey, mom. Hey, dad. How is parenting going today? How are you feeling about yourself as a parent? What's your sort of like last parenting failure? What's your last parenting success? How's your kid doing today, right? As our children grow and develop and mature, we as parents must also grow and develop and mature. But who's going to help us do that? Who is walking the journey faithfully as a Christian, who's in a position to help us develop the tools that we need for the toolbox of parenting at this age and stage? So Parenting with Hope is the book. Raising Teens for Christ in a Secular Age. There's a book and a workbook. Melissa Krueger is the author. Melissa, talk with us about crying out to God. What is the role and power of prayer in terms of parenting?
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons I feel like we can parent with hope, you know, a lot of people look at the world today and they say, oh, all of, you know, the sky's falling, all of these things are going on. Well, if you're a student of history, you know, in a lot of ways, There have been many generations where the sky is falling and really terrible things have happened throughout human history because our world, you know, has sin and brokenness in it. So in some sense, we are always parenting through difficulty and hardship. And I think one of the reasons we can have hope is as a parent is not because the world is okay, not because even our teens are okay, but we have two resources that have been given to us. And one is God's word. It is not human wisdom. We believe it is divine wisdom that has been revealed to humans. And so we have actually an information source that is different than any other information source. So if I write a book on parenting, I'm a finite, limited person. I'm just giving you my thoughts. But as we read God's word, we are actually having access to an infinite, you know, source from the creator who made us. It's totally different than any parenting book we'll read. It has wisdom for life. The second thing, though, we have is prayer. We are not alone as we parent our kids. And I think often we think we have to figure everything out. We have to understand everything about our kid. And here's the thing, we can't. Again, we are limited. We just don't know what we don't know sometimes. The wonderful thing about being a Christian, though, is we can cry out to a God who knows all things. He knows our child. He knows us. He can actually work situations. So when we don't even know what we should do, He can show that to us, and we don't always know how He'll do that, but we can pray and cry out to Him, and He has the ability to rescue us. We might not be able to see how that's going to happen, but we are told as His people, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You know, we're told that when we're worried and anxious, by prayer and petition to present our requests to God, and that He is going to listen to us. And so we have someone to cry out to. And that should give us a lot of hope.
Parenting with hope, right? That's critical. We need to be, we don't want to feel defeated. We want to be energized. Talk about some of the cultural idols that hold parents back today. Because, you know, we have all of these cultural expectations maybe of what parenting looks like or what our kids should be doing or, you know, how many things they should be at, you know, committing them to crazy schedules. Are there cultural idols that keep us from actually like creating the kind of home you're talking about?
Yes, I think a lot of times we think the biggest enemies are to our teen or kind of like the old timey sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Yeah. I mean, these are the things we're fearful about as parents. But what I would say are sometimes our biggest mistakes as parents is we have actually bowed down to the idols of our culture, which in a lot of ways are good things that have become what I like to say, good things, when they become God things, they become really bad things. And these are things like scholarship and achievement, a good thing, but it, in a lot of ways, it has become an idol in our culture to get our kids into elite schools. And we see this culturally. I mean, people are willing to break the law to get their kids into, you know, certain schools. So we've got scholarship and achievement. We've got sports and activities. And so again, sports and activities are a good thing, but over and over and over and over again, we'll see that sports really rob the family of things like going to church together or having family dinners together. And again, it's not that it's bad to have these, but the level at which we're probably chasing some of these, I think, has turned into a way that's harming our families in the long run. And then the last thing I think that really affects us is social acceptance. We want our child to fit in, and increasingly fitting in can mean accepting ungodly behavior. And so we've got to be parents, in a sense, who raise our kids to be pilgrim kids who realize they're strangers and aliens in this world. And that is uncomfortable. And so as parents, we've got to live as strangers and aliens, not to be, in a sense, strange, but just to recognize that our citizenship is in heaven, and to live differently should be the norm for Christian families. But it's hard. And it's hard to ask our teens to live differently in light of what they believe. And so I think those three pressures, sports and activities, scholarship and achievement, and then social acceptance really press on us as parents. And we can get where we're we're encouraging them to not pursue bad things, but maybe not to pursue the best things. And that can be one of our biggest struggles as parents.
Melissa, that's so good. I'm thinking about, you know, how acceptance is really redefined. One of the chapters, you know, you focus on that acceptance, you know, like being this house of grace, and then availability, a home of welcome, affection, a home of warmth, and then, you know, ultimately a secure place for hope. I love the way that you are describing the home, not only as a place of firm foundation, but as the like crucible of a well-loved, well-nurtured Christian disciple. Like they're literally going to learn it at home. And I think that if we can help our kids see themselves as citizens of the kingdom and ambassadors of the king, then they're going to carry themselves with that kind of dignity in the world. And they're going to be attractive in ways that the world is not. And maybe other kids will come home with them to our place and, you know, and experience something very unique and different than they're experiencing elsewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if our homes can just be places, I can't stress enough, of warmth and invitation. Mm-hmm. So that when our teen walks into the room, or maybe they bring their 20 friends in, and yeah, they have mud on their feet and all of the things, but what we see first is not the mud, but we see the human. And we look at them and we say, oh, I'm so glad you're in my home. That warmth is going to translate into, one, questions maybe for those other teams. What makes your house different? And hopefully they will see, because Christ is in this home, it is a place of warm welcome for you. Come and know this Jesus. And this is where our homes can be outposts of for the gospel. Yeah, I mean, they can be these lights that shine to the watching world. And it's really a beautiful thing that we can open up our homes, invite first our own kids in to the love of Christ, and then share that love with others.
That's so good. Melissa, as always, thank you so much for what you do every day. And thank you for joining us today. That's Melissa Kruger. We are talking today about her most recent book, Parenting with Hope, Raising Teens for Christ in a Secular Age. We are giving away copies today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Melissa, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, yes, thanks to those of you on the text line. I am seeing all of your questions and communication. We don't have time to deal with all of those today, but keep them coming nonetheless. We read them all. We respond to them over the course of time. The text line's always open, 877-933-2484. Let me encourage you in this just last minute that we have together today. Do not allow God or His glory to be eclipsed by anything else today. Okay, let God get His glory. God is the one that made the sun and the moon and set them in their courses above. God is the one who deserves the glory. And so let's be sure today, as the eyes of the world are turned to the heavens, let's be sure that we help people see the one who called light into being, who called light light, who separated light from darkness, who made the sun and the moon, who came as the very light of the world. And let us be the people who recognize Him. And let us be the people then who reflect His light to others. Go be shiny today. Let your light so shine before others that even the darkness, even though the darkness tries to obscure it, you're going to shine through it. Have a great day and God bless. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.